incredible. Because sometimes we just forget, you know, that not only are they kids, but they're going to carry us into that next place. They're the ones who carries us into that. So it's really worth putting something into them, and they'll come and help us get to that next place. And me and Pastor Alan, we like it because we think that if we keep bringing those young guys like Daniel to the woods with us, that one day they'll start carrying us through the woods. And so we got something to go there. So I want to talk to you. What we've been talking to you about is we create opportunities to encounter God and experience unconditional love, releasing them to live joy-filled, purposeful lives. And I've enjoyed listening to all the pastors. Each pastor has given its spin on what's happening and where we're at and how to do that. How do we create opportunities and how do we do this unconditional love and how do we pass this thing back and forwards in our own each in a little way, you know. But I want to spin it a little bit different this morning because I really don't think that we can completely live joy-filled lives living in this realm. So I think that we're in a realm that we haven't totally opened our eyes up to step into. And as we step into those things that we were actually created to be and do, and as we do those, we're going to see more joy and more purposeful than what we understood before. Does that make sense? And so I think there's just so much more. And for a long time, we've just stayed where we are and instead of pushed to the place that I believe that God's given us. Amen? So this first scripture, I'm going to read it to you, but it's going to be up here on the PowerPoint. So Judges 6:1, because the power of Midian was so oppressive, the Israelites prepared shelters for themselves and mountain cliffs, caves, and strongholds. Whenever the Israelites planted their crops, the Midianites, the Amalekites, and the other eastern people invaded the country. They camped on the land and ruined the crops all the way to Gaza and did not spare a living thing for Israel, neither sheep, nor cattle, nor donkeys. They came up with their livestock and their tents. They swarmed like locusts. It was impossible to count them or their camels because they invaded the land to ravage it. Midian so impoverished the Israelites that they cried out to the Lord for help. Verse 7. When the Israelites cried out to the Lord because of the Midian, he sent them a prophet who said, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I brought you up out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. I rescued you from the hand of the Egyptians, and I delivered you from the hand of all your oppressors. I drove them out before you and gave you their land. I said to you, I am the Lord your God. Do not worship the gods of the Amorites in those lands that you live, but you have not listened to me." Verse 11, the angel of the Lord came and sat down on the oak in Ophrah that belonged to Joash the Abizanite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in the winepress to keep it from the Midians. So just to tell you what the story really means, all this was about was what was happening was the Israelites were so afraid of the enemy because every time that the enemy would work real hard and they would get the harvest, they would prepare for the harvest. About the time they were going to reap the harvest, the Midianites would come in and they would steal all their harvest. They'd steal everything they had. So being afraid and being scared of the enemy, what happened was Gideon, who was the prophet at that time and a judge, said he was hiding. So what you would normally do when you shifted wheat, what you would normally do on this piece of cloth, you would go out in the open and you would throw the wheat up in the air. And as the wheat would go up in the air, the wind would blow the sheaves off of it and the wheat would fall back down. And you would keep doing this, and that's how you got your wheat. But he couldn't do that because if the Midianites seen what he was doing, then they would steal the harvest. And so he was hiding in the wine press, afraid of the enemy. And so he was doing that, and I feel like that's kind of where the church is at. We're okay. I mean, we say some pretty mean stuff, and we say this and we say that. But when somebody says the word cancer, every one of us kind of shrivel back. Well, you know, I'm okay to pray for colds, or I'm okay to pray for someone who's got a little bitty thing or this or a virus or whatever. But when it comes to something big, the church kind of shrinks back from what it's calling to be, okay? I feel like that sometimes we're actually hiding from the stuff that God gave us. God gave us the land. He drove us out. He did all of those things, right? He said, I brought you out of the world. He brought all of us, every Christian. He said, I brought you out of the world. I brought you from a place that you were a slave, and now I brought you out of that. But sometimes I think that we get so caught up with living in this world that the world becomes a part of who we are. We bring that part of the world into our Christianity, not understanding that I'm actually somebody totally different than what I was before I gave my life to the Lord. But yet we bring those things on with us. Amen? Okay, he brought us out of slavery. He rescued us from the world. He delivered us from the hand of Satan. He said, I drove them out and I gave you their land. Now, that is supposed to be the church. But I think that sometimes we just start to pick up things and we get a little scared and we start backing up and we begin to take on the things of the world instead of believing all the things that God's given us. Amen? I mean, don't get me wrong, I think the church is doing absolutely wonderful. I think it's the best time in history that it's ever walked, but I don't think we're done. I don't think this is where we're supposed to stop at. I don't think we're supposed to stop and pitch a tent in this place. I think we're supposed to continue to move on to, because can I tell you, we're not in the promised land yet. I mean, we haven't gotten everything that it says it's ours. What this book says is ours, we're just not there yet. I mean, there's still people who's sick, and there's still people who's dying, and there's still people who walk in it, and I think that God said he's given us that back. But I think sometimes what happens is we just don't realize that there's more, or we're better off than what we used to be, or we're better off than where those guys were, so we should just stay right here. I feel like the church is just what it's talked about with the Israelites and the Midianites. We work real hard, right? We work real hard. We pray for our neighbors. We spend time with our neighbors. We pay the price. We do all those things. We pray for them. We use our energy. We use everything that we got. And about the time that we bring somebody into the kingdom, maybe they're here a month. Maybe they're here 2 weeks. Maybe they're here a month. Maybe they're here for 2 years, but then they fall away back to the world. Like the world is the Midianites, and they steal back our youth. They steal back those youth that were here last year and the year before and the year before and the year before. See, I remember the camps. I've been to those camps where the kids laid out and they worshiped God for so long, I thought we were never going to go to bed that night, because 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning, they still just kept pounding out worshiping God. I'm like, man. Then I look and I think, wow, who took them? Where'd they go? What happened? I mean, what happened with this and what happened with that? And I just feel like there's a lot more that we can go to, right? I mean, I tell you, if you've ever been to any Pentecostal church in America, you know we've bound every demon from here to the Mississippi River. So there's actually no demons from here to the Mississippi River. Right? We've bound the demon of suicide and addictions and whatever, we've bound them all. But yet we still read those things still happen every day. But we've bound them instead of saying, hey, listen, maybe there's more, maybe there's another place, maybe we're not finished yet, maybe there's some place that God wants to take us to, and we're just not finished in this place, right? Maybe we've just settled and pitched a tent instead of understanding that I actually belong into a palace instead of this place right here. And I think we've just settled to that place. I don't think it's bad. I mean, I just think that we got to keep moving. Right? We can't settle for, because all that says in here is true. It's got to be true. If he says it, it's got to be true. And if it's there, it's mine. And so if it's not ours, it's the church. So I think what happens is the lost world is saying, okay, church, give us what you said was there. Right? I think we've grown out of knocking on people's door and telling them they're going to hell. Thank God we've quit doing that. But now the world's going, okay, now change the atmosphere. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons, do what you said you was going to do, and do what we said we would do instead of staying where we're at, amen? We pray, and I'm the same. I pray sometimes people are healed, sometimes they're not. Sometimes demons leave, sometimes they don't. And so, but instead of it pressing me into that place, instead of it pressing me deeper into the Lord, I just get tired of doing it, so I don't do it so much anymore. So instead of praying for every sick person, I see when I go to Walmart, I'm like, oh, they need to be prayed for. I hope somebody sees that. You know, because I prayed for so many, and sometimes it's worked and sometimes it doesn't. And what if it doesn't work when I'm praying for the person? You know, and so I just think there's so much more that we're supposed to be doing, right? But I think there's tools that we haven't actually stepped into, things that promises that he's given us that we don't have to live in this place. I tell you, I just feel like there's more joy than what the church is actually walking into. I think there's more joy that we can walk into. So today, I want to challenge us to walk into the places he's already called us to be, right? To live our lives to the fullest, so we can have all of that. And so what would happen is people would go, "My Lord, you are so joyful. There's so much stuff that's happening in your life. What's going on?" I'm like, "Oh, I'm a Christian." Well, the problem now, most people in the world either know a Christian or they don't know a Christian. Because we blend so much, right? We just settled for that place, I think. See, you know, it's part of my job to change the atmosphere. Part of my job is to change the atmosphere so the people who can't change the atmosphere can understand what it feels like being in the presence of the Lord because I came into the room. So when I come into the room, I change the atmosphere so the people in there go, "My goodness, there's something that happens when he walks inside the room." Right? So those people who can encounter, it's my job to encounter God so when they walk into that place, they encounter God in the same way. So it's that way we don't have to tell them about Jesus. We just show them, right? I think that's what happened with John and Peter when they were walking to the temple and they healed the guy on the way. I don't think they had to earn something. I don't think they worked real hard. I don't think they got up extra early that morning and prayed or went to a Bible study or read their Bible 15 times and they got enough points where the next time a sick person came along, they would get them healed. I don't think they earned that whatsoever. I think they just established a place that they were walking, and wherever they were walking, heaven was at. When they stepped in that place, heaven was there. And they didn't have to earn it because it wasn't something they could have. It's something who they were. It's not what you did. It's not what you're going to do. It's what he did for you. Right, so when you step into that place and you step into that position, that's what happens, not because of who you are, but because of who he is, amen? Let's give him praise. See, I think that long as we're hanging out in this realm and thinking this is the place that I was supposed to be, we're going to get reactions this way. Paul says it this way. He said, you know, I was called up to the third heavens, you know, and I believe that the second heavens is this atmosphere where Daniel, remember the story when Daniel was praying? He was praying for 21 days and he didn't have an answer. I think it was Daniel chapter 10. He's praying for 21 days and there's no answer of what he's supposed to be praying for. And then the angel of the Lord comes down and says, "Hey, Daniel, don't be messed up. Don't be jacked up about this because I was stuck. I was actually stuck in this place with the prince of Persia. The demon over this area had me captured, and I couldn't do anything until the archangel Michael was released, and now I'm here to answer your prayer." So there's a realms, there's places that we need to walk into that we're allowed to be there, but we don't know how to get there. We don't know what it's like. We just kind of live in this place. Amen? James says it this way in chapter 5, verse 16. He says, "The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective." And Jacob, it would have been just like this. What happened with Jacob, right? Jacob, I think it's just what we're doing, right? Jacob's, he wakes up in this place in the desert with his head on a rock or something. I don't know how it went. And then he says, angels ascended and descended from him. Angels were actually ascended. And he says this. He goes, wow, when he wakes up from this dream or vision he has, he goes, "I didn't even know the Lord was here." I think that's the same thing that happens to us. We're just not aware. Things are happening, and we're just not aware they're actually happening. And so Jacob says it right. He says, "Hey, listen, I wasn't even aware that God was even in this place." See, I believe that we've become a new creation. The Bible says you're a new creation. I mean, it's kind of like the space shuttle, right? The space shuttle have to have these rockets to help them get off the ground, and there's these powerful, huge rockets that blast them up, and as they get off the ground, as they start to enter the atmosphere, they eject those. They eject those so they can go into the next part they're supposed to live in. I think as humans, I don't know what it looks like, but I just see as humans, we just keep that garbage on us. Maybe it's what the world taught us. Maybe it's what you thought you were. Maybe it's your identity. Maybe it's whatever it is, we keep those places instead of ejecting that, entering into the places that God's called us to go. Colossians 3. Christ's resurrection is your resurrection too. Christ's resurrection is your resurrection too. Right, so he was seated in the heavenlies when he was resurrected. So now you are seated in the heavenlies. Amen. So just as he's done, that means you now seat there. This is why we are to yearn for all that is above, for that's where Christ sits, enthroned at the place of power, honor, and authority. So if he's seated in that place and you're seated in him, you're in that place with power and authority. Amen. And so if we have power and authority, how is it that we're getting the hell beat out of us by the world? I mean, there's no different in any statistics that you look from the church to the world, because we look just alike each other. Amen? It says, yes, feast on the treasures of heavenly realms. I'm in trouble. And fill the thoughts until the heavenly realities, and not with the distractions of the natural realm. See, I don't have a problem when somebody, the Bible says, Jesus is in you. So we tell people, he's in your heart, he's, you know, all that stuff. Jesus is in you. I don't really have a problem with that. And now I don't even have a problem with, the Bible says that I'm seated in Jesus in the heavenlies. I really don't have a problem with that. But let's take it further than that. What's that mean? If I'm seated in the heavenlies, what am I doing there? Why did he seat me there? Why did he raise me to that place? Why would he raise me to that place and then leave me here on the earth? Because my design wasn't to go to heaven. Because if my design was to go to heaven, once I gave my life to the Lord, he would just suck me to heaven because I was done. But no, I have a purpose to live here on the earth and be seated in the heavenlies at the same time. So if I'm seated in the heavenlies and I'm living on the earth, what am I supposed to be doing with it? So why am I not just knocking on heaven's door going, okay, Lord, what am I doing up there? I have no clue. And I started months ago. I started just setting and not praying for sick people and not praying for things to happen and not for my children and my family and my business. I just began to set with the Lord and say, Jesus, you love me. You love me not because of what I've done or what I haven't done. You just love me. And I love you. And no wonder you can't leave me nor forsake me, because you're in me. And I can't leave or forsake you because I'm seated in the heavenlies with you. Then I'm like, what's that mean, Lord? And then I just start asking him stuff like, what's your favorite color? Why Jupiter? Because it rhymes with Stupider, and the girls have got a good rhyme against us now when we were kids, you know? And I did. I asked that question. I really did. I'm just like, I just wanted to talk. I want to be a friend. So he was the first prototype of those sons to follow. So I'm one to follow. So there's got to be more than me just sitting here worshiping on Sundays and doing something. There has to be more that's supposed to be a part of this. So I've just been sitting and asking, show me more, Lord. Show me more. Don't let me stay here. If I'm supposed to be in another place, if I'm supposed to see something, if my eyes are supposed to be open, let them be open. Amen. I keep thinking like, wow, how's this, let it be done on earth as it is in heaven, if I don't know what the heck is going on in heaven. I haven't been talking to him about it. I mean, I want to talk to him about it. I'm like, hey, listen, if I'm seated there, am I supposed to be letting angels and ascend and descend off this ladder that I have from heaven to earth? Amen? I think we try to loose and bind from this place when loosing and binding is not supposed to be done in this place, because we don't know what's supposed to be loose and we don't know what's supposed to be bound. So, right, there's not two kingdoms that are in battle with each other, right? I mean, forever I thought that that's what it was. There was the kingdom of darkness that was little. And there was this big kingdom of light, which was Jesus. And they're battling for this stuff going on. There's only one king. And there's only one Lord. And he's the King of all kings, and he's the Lord of all lords. He's the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, and the end, and there's no one outside of him. So that means that there's one universe, one world, and the darkness is actually inside of that. And so actually, the Hebrews says that demons are ministering angels. They do his will, the things that he needs them to do. So I'm out here binding everything because I don't know what not to bind and what not to do. So I'm over here just doing what I feel like doing because that's what I've been taught to do. Instead of just connecting with the heavenlies and saying, how's this work? Teach me the business. If I'm the second prototype of who you are, what am I supposed to do next? What does it look like? I told the youth last night, I was like, can I tell you that there's nobody who's going to touch your high school but you? These guys have already finished that race. Some of them way long time ago. Oh, just kidding. Sorry, Harvey. Because you're in the race where you are now to affect what you can affect now, but once that you're past, a lot of us have finished so many races that we didn't even know we were in a race. Can I tell you, when I was in high school, I didn't have an idea that I was in a race and that I had a purpose to bring salvation to my high school, but I didn't know I was even in the race. I didn't realize I was in a race until I was 30-something years old, and I'm like, oh my goodness, I've lost all these races to this point. I don't want to waste any time. We're in races. We're in the middle of something. We've got to connect with that. Amen? I feel like that the church is kind of like the pool of Bethesda, right? Is that how you say that word? Amen. PowerPoint 5. John chapter 5. Bam. I made these myself. You guys can probably tell, but that's what happens when you start looking at things at 2 o'clock in the morning. From Galilee, Jesus returned to Jerusalem to observe one of the Jewish feasts. Verse 2, inside the city, near the sheep gate, there is a pool called the Aromatic, the house of the loving kindness, surrounded by 5 covered porches. Remember those 5 covered porches. Hundreds of sick people were laying under the covered porches, the paralyzed, the blind, and the crippled, all of them waiting for their healings, for an angel of the Lord to periodically descend into the pool, the waters, and the first one who stepped into the pool after the waters swirled would instantly be healed. That it's crazy because when I told you those covered porches, I looked that up to find out what it was. It was either covered walkways or accolades, alcoves, something. But the sick under the covering represented the law, the 5 books of the Torah, but the law cannot heal its wounds and brings death because Christ is the healer. And so I think what happens is that's a picture of the church. I don't want to say that, but that's a picture of the church. The church have got the crippled, the healed. I mean, we have all of that going on, and we're just waiting for our chance to be healed. We're waiting for something to stir, maybe a great worship song, or maybe Jesus shows up in the midst of something, or maybe whatever, because what happened is he gave it all to us, and we're still trying to get it. Right? Do you see what I'm saying? The law makes us keep looking for it instead of us knowing that he did it so we can actually walk into it right now. Right, so we continue in this place. It was crazy because last night we did this with the youth. We did this old, the past, and new. And so what we did was we had a record player and we had some albums. And the youth leaders, because they're old, had to go through the satchel, find out the REO Speedwagon song, Let It Burn, put it on the record player, find the white track it was on, set it down there without scratching the Clark's record before the youth could just Google and say, hey, play REO. And then so it's singing before they could even get the book out. So we had these different things where we gave them like, said, okay, so fix some popcorn. And so the youth had the popcorn and the microwave, and the youth leaders, they had an air popper. And I was like, what's this air popper? What's this thing do? And then we had a phone. This is what cracked me up. I text all the pastors and I said, hey, can anybody bring me an old phone? Like an old phone that you could bring me? And so nobody responded. So thank God one of our elders said, I got an old phone. So I brought the phone up here. And so the youth had to go 1, 5, 0, 1. And then these guys just got to push redial because they saw my memory on my phone and whoever. And of course, you could see the difference between the old and the new. But what really cracked me up was I had that phone sitting on my desk this morning. And Harvey goes, "Oh, that's what you meant by an old phone? I got one of those." I'm like, "Oh, how old a phone did you want me to ring?" That's the oldest one we know, Harvey. Harvey had an older phone, apparently. So he's like, "I got one of those sitting downstairs. I never even thought that as an old phone." I'm like, "Okay." But see, there's the old way to do it, and then there's the new way to do it. Once you get revelation, you have to leave the old. You have to leave that which what got us there. Can I tell you, we had a map, and we took out the map, and we said, "Youth, give us the road that goes from Dallas to San Antonio." So they had to unfold the map and then try to find this place instead of just Googling. Can I tell you, it wasn't bad. Maps were good in their days. The air poppers were good in their days. The rotary telephone, or even the telephone that was on the wall that had like the 25-foot cord that stretched all the way across the kitchen and people would walk through and duck through and wrap over. Anybody know those? Exactly. Yeah. So those were all good. But now, when we have another revelation, it's time to move into that revelation. It's time to walk into that and leave that alone, as good as it was to us. And I believe that there's an openness. I think that God wants to open our minds to the places He's called us to do, the places He's calling us to go, and not be satisfied in the place that we are. Page 5. Those guys gave me a hard time because my sermon started changing. I got up to like page 14, and they were like, "This is you." I'm like, "No, it's not, because I'm going to finish in time today. I'm not going to do that to those guys anymore." I said, "I'll just preach that another time." So they went, "Betcha." I went, "Betcha." But so I got more later. But I do believe. And I will finish this sermon in about 3 or 4 more parts because I believe I have that much more. I believe I started 4 or 5 months ago, maybe a little longer, of just engaging into that place. Open my eyes. Open my eyes. And it's crazy. I said to the Lord, I've been saying to Jesus, I'm like, "Hey, what's your favorite color?" I said, "What's your favorite color?" And this morning, I try to go back to the place that I left last, not like I'm starting all over again. So I've been reconnecting with Him every day, not in prayer, not asking Him for something, but just connecting Him as just connecting. Just asking Him questions. And this morning, as I said, "Lord," I said, "I know your favorite color is blue." And I was like, "Was that a dream, or was that a vision, or was that a..." And so I started arguing in my own mind where that even came from. And then I took to the scripture where Peter was rescued from prison by the angels, right? So he's in between two guards that can't smell that great, and Peter can't smell that great, and he's chained to two guards, and an angel comes in, and the cuffs fall off the two guards, and he stands up, and then angels begin to open gates by the other guards, and he leaves, and he gets to the outside, and the Bible says Peter doesn't know if it's a dream or a vision. I thought, wow, is it really, has that really happened to us, that maybe there's dreams or visions or things that the Lord's been speaking to us or done things, but we don't really put them as that. We just kind of put them as our imagination or our thought or whatever. Have I buried stuff that the Lord's been trying to show me and do things in me for a long time, and I just thought that is crazier in my own imagination, or was it a dream, or was it a vision, or really was it the Lord? I just want to think that maybe some of those things were the Lord. Some of those things may have been angels. And I think that I just want the Christ life to be my life. I just want the way He lived, I want to live. The way He walked, I want to walk. And so all those things that He saw and did, I feel like that I'm supposed to see and do. Maybe not the cross thing. Whew. But I'm talking about the angels and the heavenlies and the seeing and walking and all of those things. I think He just, wherever He walked, He established heaven where He was at. So I think that we're supposed to do that. I think that in the next couple of weeks just to begin to allow. Come on up, Peter. I was going to sing a song if you don't mind. Okay, good. Only time I get to sing is now. So go ahead and stand up. I want to pray for you. I think that that's happened to all of us in some sorts or some ways. Those visions, dreams, thoughts, things that we couldn't really put inside something. I think that even as a kid, right, when you was a little kid, you could have an invisible friend when you was a kid, but when you got one about 15 years old, people are like, well, it's time to get rid of your little friend. You know, and so we just shut off the imaginations, and we shut off that part that maybe God was still stirring inside of us to walk where we're supposed to walk. I mean, shoot, angels. Angels are mentioned in the Bible just as many times as the Holy Spirit. We surely ain't throwing the Holy Spirit out of the church. But we have angels. So I want to pray for you. Father, I pray. And if you want, I mean, just agree with it in your voice with this prayer with him or underneath your voice or however. Father, I just pray that our eyes and our minds would be open in this spiritual realm in our everyday life. And every day, God, when I get up, when I'm a mom, when I'm a dad, when I'm at work, when I'm mowing, God, that it wouldn't be at church. That's not a church sign or a thing. It's just every day. And so, Father, I just pray for right now. I just pray that if there's anything that hinders or blocks us from seeing in the realm that you're saying is available, I just pray that it's broken right now off this place. Father, those prophetic words and dreams that you've set over this place and over these people, I just release right now. I just, everything that's holding back those prophetic, I just feel like even now, God said, I've said prophetic words over you, and you've tucked them in a drawer, you've tucked them in a place because it just didn't seem right, or it wasn't true, or it didn't whatever, and the Lord said, you put them away too soon. I just feel like that there's things that's been said to people, just words over and over and over you've heard. Maybe you've heard the same prophetic word 5, 10, 15 times, but it never happened, and you put it away. The Lord said, get it back out. I feel like it's time. So I speak out through the years, Father, the prophetic words that's been spoken over this house. And it's just a releasing of those prophetic words, Father. And not only a releasing of the prophetic words, but you would do something inside of our hearts where we would eager and want the very things that you want for us, God. And God, we just say anything that's inside of us that would hinder us from believing everything that you need us to believe and walk into would be done. Amen. So you have an assignment before I preach the next time. And your assignment is to go to him, Jesus as a friend, and ask him, just ask him, is there something you want me to see? Is there a place you want me to walk? And just allow that realm to begin to waken up to you. And it's crazy. It says that when you're open to the prophetic begins to happen. When you're open to healing, then healing begins to happen. I believe if we're open to the angelic begins to happen. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you very much. Amen.